The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Masechet Sukkah has been dedicated by Celia and Isaac Jamal, Hashem Alehem Yehyu Amen, for the Hatzlecha of their dear children. May they see much nachat from all of them. May they all grow up and get married in the right time and have children healthily, happily, with beracha v'atzlacha. And may they see descendants and descendants of their descendants. Ad bi'ad goel sedek. Amen. The Masechet has also been dedicated la'ilu nishmat Sarah bat Adel Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Again by Celia and Isaac Jamal. To school the mitzvot.
Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Isaac Shehbad in honor of his parents Jack and Marilyn. Hashem Alehem Yehyu.
Daf Mem Bet. Today's daf is being studied la'ilu nishmat Avraham ben Esther Ruach Hashem Tanihena began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied La'ilu nishmat Tamir Muhammad Shenefteret Bekitsur Yamin Veshanim Mazal Bat Frida Ruach Hashem Tanihana Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied L'fuah Shelema Hacham Obadiah Yosef Ben Gurjia El Narefanalo B'toch Shear Chole Amo Yisrael. Amen. We begin today's daf on Mem Aleph Amud Bet, and we start on the bottom line Rabbi Yosef Omer Yom Tov. There's actually a quote from our Mishnah where we said that if Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Shechal Liyot B'Shabbat, first day of the holiday was on Shabbat, V'Shachach V'Hotzi Et HaLulav V'Reshut HaRabim, by mistake he carried his lulav into the public domain, so Rabbi Yosef said he's patur from a korban, because since he was involved in a mitzvah, Rabbi Yosef is of the opinion that Ta'a B'Dvar Mitzvah, the guy was involved in a mitzvah, and because of that, he made a mistake and did something that's hayav karet, for example, halu shabbat. So the Rabbi Yosef's opinion is he is indeed patur. So the Gemara says, "Amar Abaye lo shanu ela shelo yatzabo." When do we consider it ta'ab bedvar mitzvah that is patur? Before he was yotze the mitzvah, aval yatzabo hayav. But once he was yotzebo, so now he's not ta'abed var mitzvah anymore. He did the mitzvah. Rashi lo shanu de patur ela shelo yatzay yede chovat netira kodim shotzio. Before he carried it out, he didn't fulfill the mitzvah yet. Dehash tatarud the mitzvah, because he's now involved in the mitzvah. The ta'abed var mitzvah, but yatzabo kodim shotzio. But if he fulfilled the mitzvah before he carried it out, tu lo ta'abed var mitzvah velo tarud mehash to mitzvah la'asutah. Now he's not preoccupied in the mitzvah. Then he's not going to be patur. So the Gemara asked the question: what are you talking about? Hamidagbeh nafakbe. What are you talking about? The second you pick up the lulav and etrog, you fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, the second he picked it out to take it outside to the Shtarabim, he was Yotze at that moment. So why is he patur? So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye Keshavcho. The case is talking about where he picked them up upside down. And we learned that the only way you Yotze the mitzvah Arba Minim is when you're carrying them, Derech Yedilatan, the way they grow. So he's holding the lulav upside down. So therefore, he's not Yotze Rashi. Ha-Midagbehe Nafikbe Amar Abaye Keshavcho. Ha-Kikashle. Hechidame lo Yatzabo. Give me a case where you're not yotzebo. Ha lo tzio elam kenigbiho. You can only take it out by carrying it. Umedag behe, and the second you carried it or you lifted it up, nafak be yedehova halikiha v'ketani patur. Amar Abaye keshavko keshigbiho hafecha alion hafecha alion nemata va'eged nemala. Right, regarding the lulav, he did it upside down. He put the tie instead of low. He put it on top, and he carried it upside down. V'aminim the command en yotzim mem ela derek gedilatan. Rava amar afilu temas shelo afko. We can really say you carried it in the regular fashion. Hakav ayaskinam kegon shiotzio bichli. You took it out in a vessel. You didn't carry the lulav straight, holding the lulav directly, but you carried it ayideh davar chayin in a vessel. So therefore, you're not yotze. The Gemara, what are you talking about? The harava hu d'amal l'kicha yideh davar acher shemel l'kicha. We learned in a previous daf that according to Rava, there's no hatitza by lulav. For example, he was the one that said if you had a handkerchief and you carried the lulav with a sudar, you're yotze. So there's no hatitza. So therefore, what's the difference between a keli? The Gemara, you should be yotze. The Gemara, no, hanimile derech kavod. When we consider hatitza, when the item, for example, like the sudad, it's out of kavod, out of reverence, let's say, for the lulav. However, avaderek bezayon lo. But was it a vessel you're carrying, like say, in a plate or another type of keli where it's not kavod for the lulav? Therefore, it is indeed going to be a hatitza, and therefore you're not going to be yotze. Right, as she says, derech bezayon kegon bekara. For example, in a kara, which was a plate or bowl. Amar avuna omer ayar biyose. Now the Gemara is going to give another example of ta'ab bedvar mitzvah that you're also going to be patur. Ola ta'of. She have an ola ta'of. That's a korban ola coming from the bird. Okay, now the ola ta'of obviously is not edible. The whole thing goes on the mizbeach. Shenimset ben agapayim. You found it amongst the wings, which means you found a pile of birds. Now you're not sure which one is olata off and which one is hatata off. Now there's a big difference. Hatata off, the halacha says the kohanim eat it. So the guy has olata off amongst the agapayim, amongst the birds. And what happens? Vekasamur hatata offi. So he thought he's a kohen. He thought it was hatata off. Ve'achla. And he ate it, thinking that he's fulfilling the mitzvah of eating hatata off. But in truth, it came out it was olata off. So the deen is patur. He is patur from a korban mi'ilah. Because normally in such a case, if you did it on purpose, you would have to bring a korban mi'ilah because you benefited from hekdesh. Ma'ika mashma'alan. So what's the hadush of this statement? Teta'ab edvan mitzvah patur. What do you teach me? That when you ta'ab edvan mitzvah, you're going to be patur? Hainu hach. Wait, that's the case of the Mishnah. Which is the case of the lulav that you brought on Shabbat, or the case of the biyosim? Why do you have to reinstate a case by the korbanot? So Gemara says, I would have thought atam udetah bedvar mitzvah patur haynu de'avad mitzvah. I'll tell you the case of the lulav. The reason why you patur is bottom line, you did a mitzvah. Because bottom line, you did take the lulav. It's a mitzvah to shake the lulav on the first day of Yom Tov, even when it comes out on Shabbat in the Mikdash. So therefore, I would say ta'ab bedvar mitzvah ve'asa mitzvah. In that case, you're going to be patur. Aval ha'achad ta'ab bedvar mitzvah ve'lo avad mitzvah. But here, in the case of the hatata, the olat ha'of, where the Kohen ended up eating it, he did not fulfill the mitzvah. There's no mitzvah to eat all that ta'of. It was ta'ab bedvar mitzvah ve'lo asa mitzvah. Ema lo, I might think that you're not going to be patur, therefore kamash ma'lan. Now even in such a case, you are going to be patur as well. Now let's read Rashi. Omer haya Rabbi Yosef, olat ta'of shenim said ben agapayim. Nireh be'enai, dahai ben agapayim, this word ben agapayim, eno ela lashon ofot. Means amongst other birds, olata of shenimset ben ofot hamilukim lechatat. Now korban chatat, the way they slaughtered it, a off would be through milika. Right, the Kohen had a long thumbnail, and he would pierce it across the neck of the animal, and actually the animal's head would fall off. So the Gemara, she's going to have to explain to us, how could you then make a mistake between an olata of and a hatata of? Olata of has its head on, whereas hatata of doesn't have its head on. In any event, amifarkesin etzla mizbeach. They were shaking all these birds, right? They were just slaughtered, and they were still shaking around the mizbeach. Sheparamim she'en na'asin al kid in ahad. Sometimes they're slaughtered in the same corner of the mizbeach. Normally they're not, so you really can't mix them up. But sometimes it's possible to slaughter both olat ta'of and hatat ta'of on the same corner of the mizbeach. Kedetam b'shmedat kadashim. Hatat ta'of hayta na'asin al kid in ma'aravi derumit. It was done on the southwestern corner. Roshad avrim hayta otai kid in mishameshet. Milimata. And there was three things on that corner, on the lower part of the corner it was used. The gimel and milimata. Three things were used on the upper part of the southwestern corner. Milimata, hatat ta'of, dagashot, and bringing it towards the mizbeah, v'shiyire hadam, and the leftover blood. U'milimala, and above on the southwestern corner, nisuk ha'mayim, that's the pouring of the water, v'ayayin, the one as well, v'ola ta'of, kishihi rabba b'mizrach, which is when there was too much traffic in the east. That's where normally the olat ta'of was brought. Sheikad makom olat ta'of bekerim derumit mizrach, it's on the southeastern corner. U'shayu kohanim rabbim omdim u'molkim olat ta'of b'mizrach, ba'im lema'alav, v'nasit sham bekerim chatat ta'of. Which means they would do it in the area of the chatat when there was too much traffic. Ela sha'ola lema'ala ma'ut ha'sikla v'chatat lemata. Oh, the sprinkling of the blood, the chatat ha'of is done beneath the line. There was a line on the Mizbeah called Chuta Sikna. So the blood of Hatata was sprinkled below the line, and the Hulat Tawaf was sprinkled above the line. In any event, the Kasavud, continued Rashi, HaKohen Hatat Tawaf. The Kohen thought it was Hatat Tawaf. The Akhla. Vinimsah Shema Adu Kochesh Shemaim Meshogeg. Unintentionally, he was Mu'el. He benefited from Kochesh Shemaim. Patur Mekorban Me'ilah. Hu'il Ve'ima Hatat Nimset. Since bottom line, you found it with the Hatat. V'achilatam Mitzvah. There is a Mitzvah to eat Korban Hatat. So therefore, he was involved in a mitzvah. Dichti ve'achilu otam eshir kupar behem. Abi the tribe mitzvah mitzvah upatur. Gemara says, "Hainu hach Rashi." Again, Rashi, "Hainu hach." Lama l'Ravuna le'memar. Why does Ravuna have to say the case? Pshitas pasud the man the teacher, and we learned it from the case of the lulav. Ma'u detema b'matnitinu departu meshum detab mitzvah mitzvah v'sof sof asam mitzvah. By when he did a mitzvah, shenatal lulav b'otzah azu. Aval hacha lo asam mitzvah b'achilatay molat ha'ofi. Kamash malan. רבונה דשמי עלי מרבד דלו שרי לרבי יוסף בן תאה בדבר מצווה ועשה מצווה לתאה בדבר מצווה ולא עשה מצווה. It doesn't matter whether he did a mitzvah or he did not do a mitzvah. Bottom line, you would toe בדבר מצווה. Now to answer that question of the medika, we'll say that when do we say that olat ha'of doesn't need medika? You're right, it's slaughtered regularly, but until you sprinkle the blood. Once you sprinkle the blood, they were able to decapitate the head as well. So therefore, all you found is birds without heads. The olat, the hatat ha'of, it's decapitated immediately, right away with the medika. But shekin olat ha'of is slaughtered regularly, and then after the sprinkling, you can take off that. So that's why he wasn't able to tell the difference between the olah and the hatat. And even the Gemara says, we have a question. Rabbi Yosef Omer. השוחט את התמיד שאינו מבוקר כהלכתו בשבת חייב חטאת וצריך תמיד אחר. Normally a korban has to go through a process called bikud. Usually it's a 4-day process. They have to check it to make sure there is no mumim, there is no blemishes in the korban. So the Rabbi Yosef says, let's say on Shabbat they slaughtered a korban tamid that was not checked according to the halakha. So the Gemara says hayav hatat. Why? Because she did shechita. Normally, shechita on Shabbat is one of the melachot. V'sarich tamid acher, and you have to bring another korban. So now the question is, what do you mean? He's toeh b'dbar mitzvah. We're assuming that the guy didn't do it intentionally. The guy thought he's slaughtering a normal korban, and then we made mistakes. What's the law? Ta'ah b'dbar mitzvah. Afilu lo asa mitzvah. It's okay, you should be patur. So why does the B.O.C. say that in the case where he slaughtered the hatat, the olah that was not mevukar, why does he say that he's hayav? A hatat. Amale bar minadahu. With the exclusion of that case. That case is different. Why? Because we have a statement on that case. Amar of Shmuel bar hita'e, Amar of Minuna Saba, Amar of Yitzhak bar Ashi'an, Amar of Huna, Amar Rav, Kegon Shevi'o Milishka She'enan Mivukarim. The guy went intentionally and brought the Korban from the offices or the area, the chamber of non-inspected animals. And therefore, you can't call the guy Ta'ab Edvar Mezovir. You got, exactly, the guy, what you mean? So the guy has to assume that in that chamber over there, they're not mivukarim. And therefore, well, he didn't do it bimizid, but it's out of the realm where you can call the guy a ta'ah, mitzvah, mitzvah. Because Bama, he took it, right, they took it from a place over there where they normally animals are not mivukarim. Let's read the Rashi inside. Rashi says, the Bible says, "Mer ha-shochet tamid she'enu mivukar kelchato min ha-mumin b'shabat hayav hatat, mishum shechita b'shabat she'ena shel mitzvah." Ve'ena doche alma, implying what? Ta'ab edvan mitzvah ve'lo asa mitzvah. Hayav sharet tarut ze b'mitzvah. The guy was tarut mitzvah. Hayav rotze l'shchot tamid shel Shabbat kasabur shu mevukar. Melishkei asher mevukarim de'en ze to'e b'dvar mitzvah. The stack is considered to'e. Why? Shebetelaim shu l'shkei zu eno tarut. Which means you can't say that he was preoccupied. Normally, in the case of the birds, he was preoccupied in taking a good one. Khatat, and he took an olah. I can say in the preoccupation of the mitzvah, he's patur. In the case of the lulav, he's preoccupied in doing the mitzvah of lulav, and therefore he forgot, and therefore he carried it. However, she'enan omdim nakraba, none of these over here omed vakraba. Liyot harid aleim matay yikribu, which means that he should be preoccupied and worried when he gets to that area and say, oh, one of the animals are going to be sacrificed, that he should be so concerned, and therefore he gets flustered. Which he, and he cannot even say he's flustered by time, because the Allah has a certain time that he has to bring it by. So you can't say it was the time factor that got him flustered, and that's why he went and, you know, panicked, so to speak, and brought the Qurban that he did. And therefore he wasn't careful of which lishka. No, you can't say that. Bottom line, when the guy took it from the lishka that was not Mivukarim, he's, if anything, a karov, the mezid, as opposed to a ta'ah, bidvar, mitzvah. You can't say he's flustered. In the case of the birds, it's possible the birds get mixed up in that area. Like she said, well, there was traffic, and they put it on the southwestern area. Right, so he was involved in trying to take the right one, he took the wrong one. Right, that we understand. Mm-hmm. But Meshaken over here, there's no tip down. What are you, you're in the wrong area. There's nothing, you should be flustered that you took the wrong one. Comes the next Mishnah. Mekabelet. Isha miyad bena umiyad ba'ala. Okay, on Sukkot, guy comes home with his lulav on the holiday, on Yom Tov. So it says his wife is allowed to receive the lulav either from her son or her husband. Umahazirato lamayim b'shabbat. And she can put it back into the water on Shabbat. Okay, we'll see what the hadush is that she says over here. Itlu lebein velo amniran kamitaltala midi delo hazeh. Which means you might say, what do you mean? It's mukseh. For a lady, she's not obligated in the mizbah, so maybe you think she's carrying something that's not allowed. Come on, Shalom, no. You might say, since it's a mitzvah for the man, so therefore for the man it's not considered mukseh, so what do you mean for the lady? It's not going to be considered mukseh as well. Therefore, she can receive it, take it, put it back in the water in order so it doesn't wilt. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'Shabbat mahazirin. Now the Gemara is going to discuss putting the lulav back in the water. So again, on Shabbat, you can return it to the vase, which means you can't add water, nor can you certainly not change the water, because that would be considered a tirha. However, to take the lulav and put it back into existing water would be mutar on Shabbat. B'yom tov mosifin. On Yom Tov, you're allowed to even add water to the vase, but you would not be allowed to change the water, because that would be considered too much of a tirha on Yom Tov. Uba mu'ed mahalifin. And mu'ed, hola mu'ed, you can even change the waters. Katana yodel enameya haya. A minor that already is of age, that he knows how to do the shaking, meaning the directions of the nu'in, of the shaking of the lulav, so his father must start to train him in the mitzvah. Now let's read Rashi. B'Shabbat mahzirin share mikan natlum hayom. Which means you took them from the vase of water on Shabbat, so you can put them back. Although not only can't you add, but certainly you cannot change the water. So the chief says, because it's considered a tirha in fixing a vessel. The lulav is considered a vessel. So you're trying to fix the lulav from wilting. So it's tirha in a tikkun mana, that's going to be asur. That's what the purpose of the Mishnah is to tell you. That's a mitzvah on chol ha-mu'ed to change the water to keep the lulav fresh. Okay, now the Gemara is going to. Gemara is going to explain. Peshita, what do you mean? Of course the lady can take the lulav from her husband or her son. What is the chidush of the Mishnah? Since the lady is not obligated in the mitzvah of lulav, ema lo tekabel, I might think that what she should not receive it, maybe I consider mukseh. Kamash ma'alan, no, that since bottom line, the husband has the mitzvah of lulav, it's not mukseh to him, so therefore it's not mukseh for her as well. She ema lo d'legaba ika isu tiltut. Kamash ma'alan, kevan d'ra'u d'zat anashim, since the men are shayach in the mitzvah, torat keli, it's considered a keli. Umutar b'tiltut lakol, it was mutar for everybody to carry it. Comes the Gemara and says, Katana yodel en aneya. We have a minor. Right? He reaches the age of chinuch, we'll call it, where he knows how to make the ni'nu'im. Okay, so his father has to get him a lulav. Tanu rabbanan. Katana yodel en aneya, chaya ve lulav. if he knows how to do the shaking of the Ne'anu'im. Now obviously we're not just talking about taking the lulav, because anybody could take a lulav. That's how you do the mitzvah technically, just take it and lift it up. Mm-hmm. Obviously this is the mitzvah of the Ne'anu'im. He knows exactly how to make the turnings, etc., back and forth, up and down. It's, so then already the father's obligated to train him in that mitzvah. Furthermore, litatef, if a child knows how to make atifah on the talit, meaning he knows how to put it over his head, right, and wrap it around his head like the Ishmaelim do, atifah Ishmaelim, hayab, this you see, then the father already has to provide for him a sasit. Lishmor tefillin, if the child already knows how to protect the tefillin, what does it mean? As she says, shloich nos pem, the bintik, he said, they know not to bring them into the bathroom. Abiv lo keyach lo tefillin. The father has to buy him a tefillin. In this case, it says buy. In the other case, it doesn't say buy. It seems because I get tefillin is the most expensive. So therefore, it refers to buying the tefillin. When it comes to the lulav and the sasit, so that's already cheaper. Yeah, there's a couple of days before he's not bar mitzvah. Exactly. Hinuch. Yodeya ledaber. Already once the child knows how to speak, Abiv lomdo Torah v'kiryat Shema. Already the father starts teaching him Torah and Kiryat Shema. Torah mayi. What type of Torah does he have to teach him? Amar v'meruna Torah seva lanu Moshe morasha kelat Yaakov. That's the first pasuk the father teaches his son. Kiryat Shema mayi. What part of Kiryat Shema? Pasuk Rishon. He has to give him Hinuch on the first pasuk. So comes the Gemara and says, Yodeya lishmor gufo. If a person, a child, knows how to be shomer gufo, as she says, mitumat magal masav ve'ohel, he knows the laws of tumah enough that he doesn't come in contact with tumah, not under a roof, not touching it, not carrying it. He knows to be careful from tumah. Ochlin al gufo tarot. So therefore, a father, let's say, that's eating his chulin betara, or for example, he's eating whatever food he's eating betara, and he sees the child touch that food, you can assume hazaka, the food remains tahor, and the father can eat, or the people can eat that food, assuming that the child is known to be careful from tumot. So you look at Rashi, ochlin al gufo taharot, im naga gufo betaharot, if the child's body touched things that were tahor, en hocheshin lahem, you do not suspect them. Avalo al yadayim. Oh, but Rashi comes out and says, but it's all about his body, not his hands. Im naga biyadav taharot betaharot, if the child's hands touched tarot, hosheshim lahem. Why? Sheyesh yodeh lishmur gufo, because people, there are kids that know how to watch their bodies from coming in contact with tum'ah, ve'en yodeh lishmur yadav mitorat stam yadayim. Because we have a law that the rabbis instituted, stam yadayim are sheni letum'ah, shegazu alim liyot sheniyot, ela imken yodeh lishomram. Unless the child knows how to watch his hands, it's much harder to watch your hands. You know, your hands are always moving, and therefore, it's much more difficult. Avala yodeh lishmur yadayim mishinatlam, but if a child, let's say, washes his hands, and he knows subsequently to watch them from, you know, coming in contact with something that will make them tameh, he won't touch anything that's questionable, or he knows not to touch sefarim, for example, sefre Torah, we said, sefre Kodesh, are metame yadayim. If he knows, let's say, that he has to wash his hands before he touches tarot, then you trust him as well. We're discussing only over here regarding the body of the katan, that you trust his body, but not his yadayim. Right, sefek metame, which means he knows that if he comes in contact with something that's sefek, he'll wash his hands again. Okay? Now, next case. Lishmor et yadav, that's the Gemara's case. If he knows how to protect his hands from the tum'ah, ochlin al yadav tarot. You can even eat something that the child's hands touch, because you assume that what? It is tahor. Next case. Hayodeya li sha'il. If let's say the child is smart enough that if you ask him, did you come in contact with tum'ah or not, he knows how to answer. As she says, "Im shu'alin oto nagata b'tum'ah zu yodea l'ashiv hen olav o inu yodea." He knows how to answer. Yes, no, I don't know. So then already he's like an adult in that sense. And therefore, what's the law? Bereshut yachid sefeko tameh, bereshut rabim sefeko tahor. We have a rule like this. We have a law that says, if you have a sefek, if you came in contact with tum'ah or not, so it depends where the tum'ah is. If it's in the shut yachid, sefeko tameh. If it's in the shut rabim, sefeko taor. The source of that, halakha, is actually from the case of the sota. A lady who was a sota, that's a lady that was secluded in a room with a man other than her husband. Now, we say that what? That this lady over here becomes forbidden. We don't know what she did with that man. But that lady over here becomes forbidden to her husband, bivadai. So that's a case of sefik, tum'ah. We have a sefik, if the lady was mitameh, this man b'rishuta yahid, because that's where the sota takes place, in the private domain. So we say what? She's a surah to the husband. However, if let's say they were in a public domain, she doesn't become a surah to the husband at all. And if it's sefek tum'ah b'rishut harabim, sefeko tahor. So that's the way we learn the laws of tum'ah. So again, this child over here, if he is smart enough to answer, yes, no, I don't know, then we follow the regular rules. If he was in the shut yahid, he says, I don't know if I came in contact with her or not, then the deen is sefeko reshut yahid, tameh. He's in the shut harabim, sefeko tahor. Let's read Rashi. B'rishut harabim, sefeko tahor. Im shishalu, if they asked him, "V'amar eni yodaya b'rishut hamiskotame, hachi gemiri lelketam misota." Right, we learn the laws of tumah b'rishut hamiskotah, daminim mesekat sotah, mikan atad dan l'sheret. Good. Now go to the next case. The case is two lines on the bottom. Hayodaya lefros kapav. If a child is old enough that he knows how to make kohanim, which is if he's a kohen. The first kapav, he lifts his hand up to bless the people. Holkim lo teruma bebet hagiranot. You're allowed to give him teruma in the granary, which means as a minor, he's allowed to get teruma now because he does berkat kohanim. Now, Rashi is going to give us a novel interpretation of it. Let's read Rashi. Hayodeya lefros kapav kishu kohen. Holkim lo teruma bebet hagiranot. You're allowed to divide the teruma in the granaries. Granaries where all the other Kohanim are standing. But before he knows how to make the Kohanim, in Holkin lo begorin. You can't give it to him in public, in the granary. Which means you could send it to him privately in the kid's house. If you know he's trustworthy to watch the Teruma. There's 10 different type of people that we don't let them divide up teruma in the granary. All these cases. And the Gemara says, and everybody, all these 10, you're allowed to send them in their homes. What's the reason why you can't divide for them in the Bet HaGeranot? So that she says, it's degrading to the teruma. She'en kol ro'av yod'im bo shu bakil l'shomra. See, everybody standing there says, this kid is a minor over here. What's this kid doing? What are they giving him teruma for over here? So it's belittling the teruma. Not everybody knows that the kid is worthy. But the guys who know can send it to them in private. But once already he's of age, where he makes perisat kapayim, upores besibud, and he does it in public, hakol yodaim shevishte sarot. Here's the key. Everybody knows that he's a mature individual, meaning he's not a minor anymore. She'en katan pores kapav, which means that she's saying over here, this is different than all the other cases. This case over here is, by making berkat kohanim, that's an indication that he's a gadol. Because she says only gedolim are able to make berkat kohanim, and therefore, what's going to happen? Once already people see him in public doing berkat kohanim, already the word's out. This guy's a gadol. Then already let him collect teruma at the granaries, because nobody's going to say, "Hey, there's a minor over here." Everybody knows. Oh, this guy, we see him making kohanim. However, if he's not making, if he's not put his kapav yet, then already don't do it at the granaries. Why? Because then the people are not going to be certain, is this guy matured yet? Did he bring shtei sa'arot? Did he mature? And they're going to say, they're giving that teruma to a minor. However, people that know about this kid, that he's a mature individual, that he's a gadol, they can send it to him in private. So, well, why am I saying this is different? This is different than all the other cases, because all the other cases were about a katan. Katan checks the lulav, Katan wears his seat, Katan starts to learn, Katan says Kiryat Shema. Here, he's got to be a gadol. Which means the fact that he's making Birkat Kohanim, that's a sign that he's a gadol, that he's an adult. Right? So that she's really telling you, he's not a katan, he's got to be a gadol. Whereas Tosfot takes that sheet to task of it. Tosfot says, no, that's not the pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara that said that a katan does not make Birkat Kohanim, that only meant if he's alone. if he's the only Kohen. But if there's other Kohanim over there, even a Katan is able to make Birkat Kohanim. So therefore Tosfos learning that even a Katan is able to divvy up in the Terumah. He doesn't have to actually be adult like that she wants to say. You have a minor, he knows how to make Shechita. Now that she says, even though he's not an expert on the laws of Shechita, but his hands are adept, that he knows how to make the Shechita. Ochlin mishchitato. So you can eat from the kids Shechita. Amar Abuna, v'hu shegadol omid al gabav. That's only talking about when you have an adult that's supervising. Now she says, mutar lechom mishchitato, k'damar Abuna, v'hu shegadol omid al gabav, v'ra'at shelo shaha v'lo daras. There's certain things that are posel Shechita. One thing is if he doesn't make the Shechita in one shot, he shaha, he delays. That's already posel or daras. Us, where he presses the knife into the neck of the animal. So as long as the adult is supervised to make sure that he wasn't shaha or daras, and the kid knows exactly, not necessarily the laws of shahita, but the kid knows exactly how to do it, so therefore it's going to be look at the Tosafot. Even if the adult is watching over the kid and sees that the kid did it the right way, which means the only time a gadol watching over the kid is going to help is if we know the kid himself is adept and he knows how to do the shechita. Now we go to the next case. Once a child is of age that is able to eat a kezayit of grain, then already his excrement is considered excrement that has a smell to it that you have to keep away from it for praying or for learning Torah for amot, and his meraglaim as well. That she says, kezayit dagan kol hamesh taminim karu dagan, all the five grains, hetin, seorin, kosmich, v'l'tshua, v'shifon, marhaikin mitzuato, m'sha'achal kezayit me'elu, which is once he eats a kezayit from any of those grains, b'chol enyan achina, shetsuat minim alanu masahat, that already the su'a from such food is smells, and therefore down amot niyan kiriyat shema v'tfilah. I'm sorry, for the laws of kiriyat shema and tefilah. Now it should be pointed out, masma from Rashi, that you have to, when the kid ate these items, if he didn't eat these items, you don't have to worry about his su'ah. Tosfot has a little different understanding. Tosfot learns, no. When he reaches the age that he's able to eat these items, even if he didn't eat these items, is already su'ah considered smelly enough that you have to be concerned? As opposed to an infant, that the su'ah is not considered su'ah, l'inyan, kriyat shema, and tefillah.
That's what we follow?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, Amar Rav Chasda, v'hu sheyachol le'ochlo b'chdei achilat pras. Now, it's not enough for him to eat, be able to eat dagan, but he has to eat it within a certain amount of time. Now, pras literally means half. Now, the loaf that the Gemara talks about was a loaf of 8 betzim. That's the shiur for 2 se'udot for in Eruv. Now, achilat pras is half of that, which would be 4 betzim. The amount that it would take to eat 4 betzim, which is anywhere between 2 minutes or all the way up to maybe 9 minutes. So therefore, if you can eat it within that certain amount of time, that's considered the prerequisite for his su'ah to be considered tzu'ah, that's going to necessitate harhaka for kiryat shema and tefillah. Amar v'chaya b'daviba u'b'gadol. But when it comes to an adult, afapi she'enu yachol le'echol b'chdei achilat paris. It doesn't matter. Even if you have an adult that cannot eat grain b'chdei achilat paris, his su'ah is asur. Why? D'chtiv v'yosif da'at yosif machov. The more intellect the person has, the more machov, the more pain, which means the more troubles. Which is the smarter he becomes, the more his excrement becomes malodorous. And therefore, it's going to be a problem. So therefore, age, intellect also brings machov regarding this subject. Right? As she says, machov masriyah. Yachol le'echol kezayit sli. Already if the child can eat a kezayit of roasted meat, shohatin alav et pesach. Then already you're allowed to join him, include him into the group of the korban pesach. Shnei emar ish lefi ochlo, according to his able to eat. Now Tosfot says yesh yachol lechol kezayit mevusha v'no yachol lechol kezayit sli. She says some kids they can eat cooked meat, but they cannot yet eat roasted meat. Umisharin and besli lefi shidino shel pesach sli, because the korban pesach is roasted. So therefore you have to judge him if he can eat roasted. Rabbi Yehuda omer ad shiachol lebarer achila. Which means he has a different gauge. It has to be old enough to know the difference to select between foods. What do you mean? Ketzad. Notim lo tsror vezorko. Egoz venotlo. Which means if you give the kid a rock, he knows it's a rock, he throws it. You give him a nut, he eats it, he takes it. So that's already the age of maturity that he'd be chayav for korban, huh? Even if he cannot eat.
Even if he can eat roasted, if he can't discern.
Oh, yeah, okay. Even if he can eat roasted, okay. You want to say that way, even if you can eat roasted. Okay, the point. This is the right. This is the gauge. Jeez, he knows the selection of food and non-food. Hadran alach lulav gazur.